judge for this morning's canon is the epistle that the Lord read to you just a little while ago. If any of you have ever visited New York City, you probably have seen a place that is unique in the world called Broadway. The first of so many typical American musicals. And if any of you have ever gone to see a musical in New York City or in the movies, they're always kind of struck with the fantastic, strange event of a person meeting some very, very deeply emotional experience in life and bursting out in song. In the movies, it's even worse, because no place will even show you where the orchestra is. And I suppose that out of millions of musicals from New York City have come millions of songs that have gone deep into the hearts of people, so that people say quite often, listen, they're playing all our songs. Or the negative that we can keep back to, please, Mr. Please, don't play B7C. It is a song that confronts us this morning. As a matter of fact, two. One from a woman who is visited by an angel. Another from a man. You see, our text is a song. A song inserted in the scripture as a response to some deep feeling. And it would be well for us to see why it was put there and how that song has importance for us in our lives today. Life is very, very uncertain. Every day, not only the Ford Motor Company, but the world confronts my credibility. I pick up the newspaper, I seldom watch TV, but I read the newspaper, and every single morning and every evening as it gets thrown at my door and I pick it up and open it, I again scratch my head, not because of dandruff, but because I can't believe that these things really are happening. They've never happened before. And it seems to get worse every single day. Life seems to be very, very uncertain these days. Life was not very sure before either. The letter that is our text was written probably in his old age, at a time when life was coming to a close and he was probably sitting in prison. That's a bit uncertain. It's a little bit frightening. We would imagine that he had every reason to be afraid. And yet, how often, as we confront this world gone crazy, do we not even feel afraid or uncertain? And some psychological mechanism deep inside comes out and says, hey, well, it's like those strange discussions that we had in graduate school when I was a social work student. Theologians discuss how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Social workers discuss what the crisis. If, for example, a woman living in a very, very poor area of a city with a husband who's an alcoholic, a child on dope, and a house infested with rats and cockroaches, now stands in the street of her house burned, is that a crisis? What happens is that from all of these things, we become very dull. We become dull to the danger, dull to the fear, dull to the horror of the world around us. And like one of those musicals, perhaps we somehow are saying to ourselves and the world, really, if we just whistle a happy tune, it'll all go away. Now, That's go. And God would call us to the reality of life through his servant Paul, who never once failed to understand the dangers that he suffered in his life. Read sometime that list of things that happened to him. Paul certainly was not dull in hearing or experiencing the terrible things in life. Life is very uncertain. But you know, God's word is just the opposite. And God's plan of salvation is just the opposite. It's very, very certain. And it pops up today as we look at a woman visited by an angel who says to you that she says to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will have a child. Notice that the holy record doesn't say, I think. Or I hope so. It says, you will have a son. And the word came also to Paul. And Paul was stopped in his tracks when he became God's servant. And he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word. God's word is pure. And God's plan for saving us from this world of uncertainty is clear. But the problem that sometimes pops up in us is that our attitude to this world of salvation is much like our attitude to the world that comes and says, be afraid, there's danger all around. It gets kind of dark. I've heard it before. This old house. A baby was born from a virgin. He lived and he walked on earth and he did wonderful things and he preached and he died on a cross and he rose again from the dead. Ho, hum. I've heard it before. It's all so good. And perhaps the same psychological mechanism that comes in for us to whistle away the cares of this life comes in and does the same thing and he sort of shrugs our shoulders and says, ain't that nice? And it's to that our text would say, God is more than life. He is magnificent. There is no disputing the majesty of his power and the mystery of our religion. It's interesting that Paul has been describing how Timothy should get things sort of started in the church, how the organization should be all there. Now, some of us, you know, like organization. I, for one, am not very eager about it. It's certainly not something I want to sing about. And it's at the end of this section where Paul is describing how you establish the administration of the church, blah, 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 that all of a sudden he breaks out into song. And he says, how marvelous is the secret mystery of our faith. And then comes this song, the sixth passage. Day. And it's almost like a condensation of the Apostles' Creed. Why would anyone break into song at this point in the text? The only answer that I can bring to it is that he really understood the mystery. And the mystery was revealed even in that church and that group of people to whom it was written, and he couldn't help but break out into song. No dullness in this prayer. He knew. He had been through it all. And you and I, you know, we're the ones also that have to have in us that same feeling. After all, this is our song. And it's our soul because God gave it to us. He gave it to us in his flesh and his body, his son, born of that virgin Mary. It's our soul. I'm told that some of those words are correct, especially in that sort of negative feedback song, where the girl pleads, and it sounds so real on the record, you know. Please don't play B17. It was our song, it was his song, now it's over. What a deep emotion, man. What a deep feeling about that song. How much more emotion and deep feeling and joy is in our song that we would push the button for it again and again daily in our lives and say, play it, God, again. I love it. It's beautiful. It's mine. It's your gift to me. It frees me and I rejoice. It's our song. Yes, Paul sings our song. God's gift to us is love and his mercy and his heart. Today, I'd like to sing this song again. He appeared in human form, was shown to be right with the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken up to heaven. I pondered what would happen if Martin Luther had written it. I think there would be only one difference. It would sound like this. He appeared in human form, was shown to be right with the Spirit, and was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken up to heaven for me.